Commissioner Sinapa
is excused. Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Christopher.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
And Supervisor Couch is excused.
First order of business would be to approve the summary proceedings from last month.
Kathy.
Any discussion, first of all, on anything? They look good to me.
I will make a motion to approve the meeting. I will second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much. Consent agenda. These agenda items for the Animal Services Commission may be acted on one motion if no member of the commission or audience wishes to comment or ask questions. So these are the three emails that we received days ago. Was there any discussion, or would you like to make a motion to receive the file?
I have a question.
Okay.
Have
you used a microphone tonight?
Assuming I'm directing these, if you did. This couldn't possibly be all. Are these just selected as a reason because it was unresolved, or why were just these few emails old? Is it just the most recent? I'm just curious.
That is all the emails that the commission received during that time period.
The commission, not you. This is
No, that would be a much longer document.
Okay, that clarifies it. Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay. I was curious how that was resolved or not. What happened?
The activity was responded to. I don't know if
the city.
I'm sorry.
City.
No, the activity was responded to. I do not know if the dog has continued to bark at this time.
Okay.
Well, this was a while ago, in a sense.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it may have resolved.
It could be. I hope so. But
it happened to me one time. It isn't pleasant. It just isn't. So I'm really annoying. Okay. So, get a motion to
receive. I make a motion to receive the file.
And I will second.
Okay.
Fair.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Thank you. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. The commission may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record or make in your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. And Nick's got the stopwatch. So give one. Anyone want to do a presentation? Terry?
Yes. Terry Cohen, Tehachapi. I talk loud anyways.
I heard you.
Okay. Start me. Okay, anyways. The AKC emergency relief trailers. We want two of them. And the last donation, which was from the Victual Abuse Training Club, came in. And so one has been paid for, and we're working on the second one. And we should get delivery of the first one. It might be a late Christmas present, it might be a Happy New Year's gift, we're not sure, couple months kind of thing. So when it gets here, it gets here. But it should be within the next couple of months before probably the end of January. So, and then when we receive it, hopefully it'll be some pomp and circumstance go on and some media exposure and looky what we did. And yes, because that was from donations, private and from dog clubs around the county.
That'd be parked at Animal Services.
Yep, I believe so. Is that what you're doing, Nick?
The original plan was to locate those in outlying areas.
Okay.
So that disasters can be responded to timely.
Sounds good. Yeah.
So I assume it's not stopped hitting the trailer, so then you do another fundraiser.
No, it's stopped.
Oh, it's stopped.
That's from my understanding. That those are stopped to the gills.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Great job.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Even if we just got one out of you, that's really, really good. I hope we get two.
Yeah.
Okay. Table one, Paul. Table two.
My name is Whitney Lutz. I'm from Bakersville. And I am the Swift for the ABU
you guys, so the commission, I want you to be aware or know or ask, what is your solution on not having a vet at Kern County Animal Shelter? Or what is your solution on making sure that people get their animals back in a timely manner that own them? Or how are you going to solve that you guys are killing animals that have been in your facility for too long? Example, A117-1720. And how are you guys planning on solving, no one can get a hold of anybody at this facility at the Kern County Animal Shelter located on Fruitville?
That's a lot.
Yep.
back in during COVID, I do believe we hit, what is it called, the no-kill status? And that's based on 90% of the animals getting calms, not being 90%. So that's a tough call for Kern County. If you've been around here for a long time, so we're a lot of strays. So you get 10 out, 15 come in. Unfortunately, that status went away, but we're continuing to try to get back to that status.
Question. Are you aware that you guys don't have a vet at that facility?
So,
just be aware of that tonight.
Can I address that actually? Because I do work in the veterinary field. I am a RVT myself. It's a shortage literally across the entire country. Shelters are probably the hardest to get these doctors to go to, honestly, just because of the circumstances. They don't pay like the private veterinarians do. And our animal shelter actually spent, 3.5 years looking for the last veterinarian they got. It is a nationwide problem. It is not a problem of this shelter in particular.
So if I could just interject, we do have a veterinarian. Our veterinarian has resigned. We do not have the support staff. She's actually in the audience. I didn't want to point that out. But in order to accomplish a spay-neuter surgery, it takes a lot more than a single veterinarian. So you need registered veterinary technicians, who we had two and both resigned, and it also requires support staff in order to accomplish surgery. So it's a little more complicated than just not having a veterinarian. We do have a veterinarian, although she will not be with us much longer. It's the rest of the staff that we don't have to accomplish those surgeries as quickly as we'd like.
So, and Kern County Animal Services, correct me if I'm wrong, uses the SNP bus and pays, $7,000 a day to have the SNP bus available?
I asked my dog to have it done yesterday because he's been waiting, again, because I have followed on my end of the bargain, and he was denied at the SNP bus yesterday, and Officer Castillo asked for him to go in.
Yeah, you have to have an appointment. Yeah, they're really, really strict.
You guys don't have anybody to SNP my dog.
If I could interject, there's some confusion here. Okay. Whitney is talking about a dog that has been deemed dangerous,
right,
or potentially dangerous. So the dog can't be released until he's altered. So she can't just make an appointment and get that done. The dog has to be altered before it's released. So we've been working for about a week and a half to find somebody who's able and willing to accept a dog that's been declared potentially dangerous to neuter him, or to come to the facility and neuter him. And it's...
You guys have sedated him before while he was sick, so I don't see how you guys are gonna have trouble when you guys have sedated him before.
And it's just proving to be more complicated than you might imagine to get him altered. So,
it sounds like you're trying, but it sounds like they're trying. They don't have that vet anymore. So I understand your dilemma, because it sounds like you probably have already met all the requirements for the dangerous dog order.
Oh, yeah.
Except for the neutering, right?
Correct.
Okay, is that where we are?
Yes.
I just wanted to bring it to the commission's attention of what's going on, because I feel like I cannot get a word in with anybody else. You can't get hurt anywhere, any other way. So that is the only reason I am here today.
That's why we're here.
Yep.
And
perfect.
Nick, and now you have Nick's direct contact.
I don't have his direct. I only have an email and your guys' the office for Phil.
He's really good on his emails.
I've never got a response.
Thank you. Table 2. Anybody else? Okay, table 3. Any comments? Table 4.
Seeing none, we'll come back to the table. Move to item E, staff announcements or reports. Director Collins, please.
Good evening, everybody. Nick Cullen, Director of Kern County Animal Services. I really just wanted to start off by kind of following up on what Terry said, that a few years back, we had a conversation with the American Kennel Club's Reunite team, and they have a program where they will provide a grant in the amount of $10,000, and then the local kennel clubs are responsible to fundraise the additional $12,000 to purchase a fully stocked, ready to deploy trailer for disaster response. So for those of you who don't know, when there's a wildfire, mostly wildfires in Kern County, or floods, or any other kind of natural disaster, usually the local animal control agency responds in some way, shape, or form to help care for animals for the length of the disaster. And we've historically had trouble, especially in Kern County, because it's over 8,000 square miles, of getting to the remote areas and providing humane care for the displaced animals and for the displaced residents that have animals. And so the Reunite program is there to get that grant and allow the kennel clubs to raise funds to purchase those trailers so that those trailers can bring out those supplies and help support the animals and help us care for those animals. So it's been, I think, over a 3-year process, probably 4 years, and they recently met their goal. I signed some paperwork last week so that we can accept that they can purchase and ship and accept it. So that's really good news. And our intent, it's hard to remember because it was so many years ago, but our original intent is, because it's such a vast county, you know, when wildfire hits, especially in the Kern River Valley area, there's times when the roadways are closed between here and there, and if we can't get disaster supplies out there, if we can't get our teams out there, being able to have supplies already located in the remote areas of the county, then if we can tap into those supplies, then we can set up a shelter and not have to worry about trying to get those supplies out there. So the original intent was to take these trailers and locate them strategically throughout the county. We already have one up in the Tehachapi area, correct? I'm looking at Commissioner Geary because her organization, the Central California Disaster Team, mans that trailer. And our goal was to station one up in the Kern River Valley and then another one in the mountain communities, the Ranger Park in Quebec. So I'm super happy that's finally come to fruition. And now I know that the kennel clubs are going to start focusing on the second trailer that we said we could use. So it's wonderful news. I think it's great news. And if it were a perfect world, we wouldn't have to use these. You know, it's a matter of time before we are required to respond again. Moving right along, just a few things to touch on in the director's report. You know, the cold months have allowed us to get back into regular vaccination clinics and regular spay and neuter clinics. So you'll see our numbers on the vaccine clinics are a little bit higher than they have been. 162 rabies, 205 parvovirus distemper vaccines that we get out to the community. Remember, those parvovirus distemper vaccines are free. It's covered through a grant from Petco. So that's a blessing that we're able to return to those. But probably more importantly is the spay and neuter program. We provided for the spaying and neutering of over 170 animals in October. Again, those are owned animals, for the most part owned animals, that are no longer able to produce offspring that will turn up in a shelter or hit by a car, hopefully, or otherwise uncared for. We had a clinic in Bakersfield in Oildale on October 5th, East Bakersfield October 11th, Cal City, which was sponsored by Supervisor Scribner, on October 14th, and then a Fraser Park clinic on October 19th. So we're going to continue moving forward with spay-neuter clinics at least four, or for the most part, it would be six clinics every month. So pay attention to our social media pages for the next upcoming clinic. If you know of people that can that need to get their pets spayed or neutered. The other thing I wanted to touch on is two things. If you look at the field services statistics for the month of October, I just want to point out that our officers have returned 92 dogs in the field. So what that means is that officers came upon an animal, a dog, and impounded it, and were able to determine who that animal belongs to, and then return that animal to the owner. And the intent is to avoid having to bring those animals into the facility if it's safe to do so. Last month, we had accomplished 48 dogs returned to owner, and the month prior, and then in October, it was 92, so about twice the amount. That is just a result of focused effort to direct the staff that do whatever you can to not take this animal in, because we don't have the space. And, you know, each animal that comes into the facility means we've got to make a real difficult decision on another animal. So officers are buying into that, and they're really making the effort. It helps that I had a contest to reward them for returning dogs to their owners.
Whatever
we got to do.
Keep doing it.
And then the other thing is that you'll see I last month I had tabulated, I think, 4 months of commercial animal facility inspection and enforcement. That's because I hadn't done it to that point. This is just October. Our officer has been working 10 calls for commercial animal facility permits for breeders. She's working one for a groomer, a total of 11 calls that she's working, in addition to the other things that she does. We have one new permit issued, two breeding administrative citations issued for commercial animal facility permit for breeders. And with that being said, I can answer any questions.
Just my usual. When are you coming to Tehachapi? The SNP bus. I see on the California City Clinic 65 surgeries. I have to think that was a lot of cats or very small dogs. I am familiar with the SNP bus's point system, and the larger dogs, of course, are much harder to accommodate on the SNP bus and take up a lot more points. So
they did about 40 dogs and about 25 cats or something like that.
Wow.
It was mostly small breed dogs.
Yeah, that's really impressive. I'm really glad to hear that.
I wanted to give credit to the Cal City Animal Control, though. They promoted that clinic. The local Cal City government promoted that clinic. Like, it was sorely needed, and the entire city was grateful that SNP bus was out there. So
yeah,
probably the reason why it's so successful.
Sure. That's okay. So you said you're hoping to do 6 clinics a month?
Yes.
For the foreseeable future and the cool months?
That is entirely based on SNP bus's availability.
Sure.
But yes.
Thank you.
How was the waiver adoption?
I guess technically that's next month, but there is no meeting. So yeah, we had organized what we call the mega adoption event. It's something that we've done in 17, 18, and 19. The intent was to promote shelter pets and rescue pets for adoption, but not just from the Kern County Animal Shelter, from multiple animal shelters throughout the Central Valley. And in years past, we would have 30 or 40 different agencies that showed up, not only with shelter pets and rescue pets, but with supplies and resources that pet owners need. It's the first time we've done it since 2019, and we weren't sure how it was going to turn out. We adopted about 40 dogs and cats. All told, all combined, it was about 78 animals that got adopted. Some were fostered out. It was a successful event over 800 people came through the gates. The city of Bakersfield brought out, I think, 11 dogs, and 10 of them got adopted. So a couple of the rescues were there that I don't see here right now. But a couple of the rescues there were there, and they placed some animals, too. So overall, it was successful. I had a staff member she's new. She's probably been there for about 4 months, and she asked them, why can't we do this once a month?
Mm-hmm. Over and over.
So it was a year.
Yeah.
I was at the mega adoption event in 2019. I think it was at the fairgrounds. Was this the fairgrounds also?
No, that's Strandler Park.
Where was it?
Strandler
Park, okay. My questions are on the 92 dogs that return in out in the field. I think it's great. Do the field officers have a scanner on their truck?
Yes.
I guess I was wondering how they would know, unless they had a tag or something.
Depends who you talk to in the neighborhood. Usually somebody will tell you where a dog belongs.
Oh, okay, they're playing detective. I got it. Okay. That's good, though. The trauma of not taking an animal down there and then having to go find them again, I think it's wonderful. I was going to ask you. You said that Scribner sponsored one of these clinics.
Cal City.
What does it cost to sponsor a clinic like that? Do you have?
$7,000.
Oh, my God. Curious.
Usually ends up being between 100 and 120 per package.
Okay. I didn't know what the price was.
Which is pricey.
But a little bit pricey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's good PR for his wife. It's the only
game
in town. So.
Yeah, we're not going to go there, Terry. We're not going to go there. I was going to try to bribe David Couch to do the same thing maybe at once. So I didn't know what the cost was. So, okay, that's all the questions I have. I'll open up to the audience. We're going to call in questions first row. Nothing first, second row. Okay, go ahead, please.
Just curious because I know that Cheryl, I don't know if I have to give my name, but I know that she had a few questions as far as getting through to the shelter to be able to talk to somebody. With the amount of dogs that are coming in and with dogs that are being euthanized. The idea is to get them out. So if you can't make contact with the shelter, then that could mean that dogs are going to die. Plus the shortage with the staffing, the care for the animals, those types of things that are still very concerning, what is going to be done with that, on top of the fact that there won't be a vet on staff, which, I know that they'll be working on that, but hopefully somebody will take the bait and come. But the animals being in the shelter, the idea is to get them out. If nobody's answering the phone, if you're understaffed, if the animals aren't being taken care of, is there a plan for that?
I don't know that that's a question about the director's report, but if the commissioner pleases, I can answer.
Go ahead.
Okay. I don't have a solution. It's too many phone calls and not enough people to answer them. We have added an office services technician on a part-time basis in an extra help capacity about 3 months ago to help out with that. We have added two volunteers to learn the answers to the questions that come through most often. We're working on, because the phone tree right now only rings those phones up front, but we're working on with communications with the county, expanding the phone stations that can dial into the phone tree just to expand the amount of available staff to answer the phones. I've said this before at this podium, that we're closed on Mondays, and Saturdays is usually incredibly busy, and so it hampers our ability to answer calls. When we come in on Monday morning, the phones max out at 90 voicemails. There are two workstations, and both of them consistently every Monday have 90 voicemails. And if you can imagine logistically what it takes to go through and hear all 90 voicemails and then respond to them all, it's a resource problem. I do not have the resources to answer the volume of calls that are coming in. The solution to that is more resources. I don't control how many resources come to the department. That's your politicians. It would be a good idea if you feel that more resources need to come to animal services, that you make sure that your supervisor in your district is aware that you feel that animal services needs more resources in order to answer the phone calls and to provide a better level of care for the animal. It's a tough job, this animal shelter. Dr. Ella can tell you that. And it's hard for us to be able to answer all of the questions and help all of the animals that come to us. We do the best that we can with the resources that we're given. If I had more resources, I could do a better job, absolutely.
Is it possible that I feel like the community as a whole maybe doesn't realize, because I know usually, like when you're on the news, you put on a happy face and everybody thinks it's cute and fluffy and you have a little cutie pie that needs to be adopted, but they may not understand the need that you have. Maybe posting on social media that you need volunteers or putting it out when you're on the news in the morning that you need the help.
I pretty consistently do that.
Yeah, it's on my Facebook page quite a bit that they need volunteers. Like I say, 1 week at least.
You know, a lot of people are struggling to find work.
And just the logistics of people want to volunteer. You know, they do. We have, last I checked, we have 90 some odd active volunteers, and there's always more volunteers coming on. To sit somebody at a phone and be able to answer questions about policies and procedures that sometimes takes months to learn, it's tough to get a volunteer in to learn those things that's only volunteering 2 to 4 to 6 hours a week. And that's a lot for a volunteer, 2 to 4 to 6 hours. So this is something that we have identified recently, that if people can't get a hold of us and they have questions. The demand for questions has increased tenfold in the past year. And I simply don't have the resources to answer the volume of calls through social media. We had to shut off the comments on social media because we can't respond to them. So it's a huge problem, absolutely. Huge problem. I don't have the solution. We're working on some of the things that we think will help, and we've made a dent in the problem, at least at the point where that those 90 or 180 voicemails on Monday are being returned at some point during the week. But remember, those phones max out at 90.
Okay.
Well, I can put in my I was here this afternoon with a kitten foster recheck. And just to take the kittens in the back, I waited 30 minutes for anybody to be available to do it. And I was watching, I just sat there with kids about watching and going, nobody was not busy the entire time.
Everybody's busy.
You know, they were either on the phone or they were talking to people. So these people work hard. They really do.
Oh,
but yes, more resources would be great. Who's got the money?
I was also there this afternoon. I got there.
Yeah.
I was there this afternoon as well. I was there at 4 o'clock to see my dog. I see him every day.
Good.
Besides last Friday, which you guys did not even notify the public that you guys were going to be closed for Veterans Day.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't. There was no paper, no nothing. I don't follow their Facebook because not everybody's on social media. Sorry about that. But today, if you go in there at any time, you can watch all those women behind the counter. Yes, some of them are working, but a lot of them are sitting on their phones. You go to the side where all the windows are at, where all the supervisors are sitting. Everybody's sitting there doing not a damn thing. Not one freaking thing.
Okay.
And I've even emailed that to Mr. Nick over here, that there is no organization in that front office. No.
Oh, I don't think that's correct.
No.
The office is organized. It really is.
No, it's really not.
So, okay. Thank you for your comment. Anything else on table two?
I got one question.
Go for it.
Because I always ask about this anyway, but we've had a pretty significant jump in intakes. It's usually around like 400 or 500. It's at 784 for that, but it's not usually that high, is it?
It's usually higher than that.
700.
We've been pretty consistently bringing in 1,000 to 1,100 animals a month since May or June.
Yeah, I usually always look at the dogs. I've never heard of at 780.
Are you talking about all animals or just dogs?
Just the dogs.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's fairly consistent with what it's been.
Yeah.
More than last year.
It's like double last year for sure.
Yeah, but last year they were not accepting any animal surrenders at all, correct?
We weren't accepting owner surrenders. We're not accepting owner surrenders now. There's something else going on last year that depends on whose opinion why that is, but we certainly took in less animals in 2021. But coming out of that pandemic,
yeah, no, I know there's a lie, but just the lack of spay and neuter programs and just the lack of community effort resources. Yeah, it's just our stray dog problem has doubled in the past 2 years from basically our country shut down.
Yeah.
that's basically what it comes down to, and then a lack of funding and resources. That's really what it comes down to.
Okay.
But I'm just going to point this out. A lot of people don't notice this, but if you read this, this is what I'm coming off right here. It's total outcomes for canine totals. It's 784. So that means 26 dogs a day went into our county shelter. That's one shelter. We have two. So we have doubled that, around 50 dogs being taken in a day, just just to really make that number real.
Did you divide by six or seven? Because we're only open 6 days a week.
Oh, I just want my 30 days. That's 30 days in a month. So, yeah, it's like 30 dogs a day. Man.
Plus the Cal City shelter, the Wasco, the shelter,
I can't forget that number every month until I come back.
Okay, table two, we'll keep going.
I kind of have, I guess, a statement about the breeding and stuff that you can email, but you have to email an address. And I typically don't see addresses around town, but I see signs with phone numbers. With in fact, recently, not far from where I live, Belgian Malinois, I can't say it.
No,
that
right. No.
Yeah. You know, those are just all kinds of breeds of dogs, but there's nothing I can do about that, because I think that you need an address, but not a phone number, correct?
If you email me a phone number, just try to think that through.
No, I know, I have. Because if I call a phone number and then say I'm interested, then likely they're not going to want me to go to their house with their address if they are up on what's happening here. And if they actually do, then it puts my face there, and then, I can send that address and stuff, and talking, going back to the resources, that you have a lack of resources to...
Yeah, but like, I have one officer who's assigned to permitting it. Really just CAF is the only permit that she's involved in. But, you know, we get screenshots of social media posts of people selling dogs. You know, it's a logistical nightmare to try to track down an address and find out even if it's occurring in the city or the county.
Yeah.
Or in Kern County.
I know.
And there are times, I'll be honest with you, when I only have one person assigned to this, I don't have time to have her making phone calls. She needs an address so that she can go hold them accountable. Okay. If I had five times the amount of people, I could probably set up a system where they're being undercover to some extent.
It goes back to resources and stuff, but I just had to at least put out there that there's signs popping up all over the county. It's just frustrating and depressing.
You could put a reverse directory work.
What is that?
Nobody, cell phones aren't listed.
No, they still do it. You can still do it.
But you can track down an address by the phone number.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
It's probably reverse directory. But I don't know how it works on this house, so.
I think there's
private
answers.
Yeah.
Did I ask a question? Okay. Move on to table three.
I have one more. Sorry, if I could get twice.
What?
On the. I have one more.
Wait a minute, you already asked your question.
On the spay and neuter, I know you guys said it was $7,000 for the SNF bus, but if that averages to $120 a dog, that's actually still a really good deal. I coordinate spay and neuters and vet forms for a few rescues and use different vets. For a small dog, get spayed and neutered at any vet is going to be around $200 minimum. Large dog is around $400. So
yes.
Just an idea, but exactly what website is it that we... to try to get an appointment with the SNF bus? Is it on the
animal
services page?
You have to call.
No.
Hold on, are you talking about... I don't know how to get home with SNF bus, but if you're a county resident and you want to get your animal spayed or neutered from the county program, follow our Facebook page, follow our Twitter account, follow our Instagram, follow our... follow our Facebook platforms.
Yeah.
We consistently promote in about a month in advance when signups are for a particular area.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it gets booked up really, really fast.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to share the information.
And Mike, I can shed a little light on that too. If it's done by a private organization, like how Heart does one clinic a month in Tashby, it's not done through Kern County, you do actually call and make an appointment with the SNF bus.
Okay.
But they will limit it to residents of that area.
Right, yeah.
Try, anyway. But the county ones are done through the county, which is unique for SNF. They usually will do it
through their personal cell phone or whatever.
I will say that, I can just talk loud. I will say that, first of all, that average depends on how many people show up.
Yeah.
If you get a good turnout, like 60 people, yeah, it's like $120, but if half people show up, then it's more like $180.
Yeah.
It's still a good deal. But I would say that if you call or if you have somebody that needs to get their animal fixed and they contact us, which our spay and neuter, actually we're pretty good about returning those phone calls because there was one person that's dedicated to just that program. But even if it's booked, put yourself on standby because there's a copay and there's quite a few people that don't end up paying the copay and then we have spots to fill.
Right? Mm-hmm. And a copay is just kind of like your guys' vouchers, less than the...
Yeah, I think it's $20 for cats and $40 for dogs.
That's not bad.
Cheap.
But if you have low income, then you can get a voucher that the vet will take in place of. Yeah, there's Wasco Vet, if you're a client already there, they do it. And I mean, there's like 10.
I used to do it.
Okay, I want to get control back. Hold on. Let's go back to table three. A young man here with a hat on. You raise your hand.
Regarding, now resources has come up as a topic here, and it seems to be kind of a central focus of the problem that we're facing here with this, the animal shelters. What is the position of this Board of Supervisors on that problem?
Well, we're a commission.
A commission.
Yeah. We're like...
we don't know. We're new. Just
go easy
on us.
We're an advisory committee.
Well, you asked the question, what is our take on their funds being lower than what they need?
Correct.
Nick went over this a few months ago, and he hit it pretty hard. Whenever they do their budget talks, everybody in this room ought to be at the Board of Supervisors and talk about how much money is needed for animal services rather than libraries, for instance, or whatever. So that's where you can come in and help us the most is, you know, if just one person shows up, they're not going to really take that. They're going to take it with a grain of salt. But if 20 people show up and they make their comments and they're animated like we all here tonight are, that's going to get their attention.
Show up where? What did you say?
Board of Supervisors.
At the supervisors.
If you go online and you look, just for instance,
right,
what the libraries are getting versus the animal shelter, you're going to see, I mean, there are several. It's not
there's
just
not
that.
It's not just the libraries. That's an example.
It's almost the redheaded stepchild.
It is.
Animal services is?
Yep.
That's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate.
That's going to change.
I do not agree. So you channel your energy into going to right below. It's the same building, right on the ground floor in the chambers. They meet every other Tuesday, approximately.
We're just going to go down there right now and wait.
Actually, we're going to have a bunch of dogs with us, too.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if they'll allow that. But,
you say every other Tuesday at what time?
Well, it starts, I think, at 8:30 on a given whatever Tuesday it is. It's when they...
In the evening or morning?
But they were just doing budget like a month ago.
Is it after the budget season?
We're just talking about budget. That's basically May through September. If you're just talking about when to see the board, it's not every other Tuesday. If you go to the county's website, kerncounty.com, you can follow the link to the Board of Supervisors and it has to schedule. And they will allow you 3 minutes during public comment.
But the meeting we should be at is more pointed. It's the budget meeting?
Well, during budget season, said through May through September is when they, but you can be making these comments all throughout the year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or you can meet with your supervisor.
Janet, Craig, if you'd like to just text me, I'll tell you when.
Okay.
You set up a meeting with your own supervisor.
Yeah, with your own supervisor. We're appointed by the supervisors, but you can set up a meeting with your supervisor to talk about the issue.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's not every other Tuesday, but it's close to every other Tuesday because they are dark during holidays and different things. Okay.
You guys are a little less important in my eyes now.
Sorry.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
I'm glad you guys are here.
Sometimes we feel that way.
and young lady Q's right.
Okay, so my husband and I, a couple of months ago, went to Nick and asked if we could take pictures of the shelter dogs because we're photographers. And so we've been going down there and setting up a black backdrop and a nice little rug and taking like studio style. And it works. Thank you. Well, so, but this is interesting because I'm just the photographer. I keep saying that. But it's been like a fire hose every single day, learning about rescues, learning about transportation, learning about what it's like in his world, learning about the vet, learning about just every detail of this. And this is just one shelter, as he pointed out. And so we have been like dunked into the deep end on this. And so what we're learning is, first of all, we don't know anything still. A lot we've learned, but we have a lot to learn, and we're just trying to get information, and that's why we're here tonight.
Good.
We have, it's just a small beginning for us, but we have a following now on Next Door Neighbor that's starting to grow, and people are actually adopting, fostering, volunteering. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just person to person, belly to belly, right? And so they're starting, it's starting to create a little bit, and I can see us, you know, expanding this and creating even more momentum. But again, you know, if the phones don't get answered, and again, my whole thing, because Nick has been very generous with his time and told us a lot of things, you know, I never ever want to criticize the guy at the top. I've been the guy at the top before, and it's a lonely place. Mm-hmm. I don't want to criticize him. We want to say, how can we help? How can we help?
Right.
And so there's a lot of people out there that had no idea what's going on down at the shelters. They had no idea. And so when I said, hey, here's Jake. Jake needs to be adopted. Uh-oh, Jake's dead now. You know, and people saw that post and they went, wait, what? No, what? And all of a sudden people started waking up and saying they're killing dogs. And it's like, what do you expect them to do with the dogs? You know, they can't go. They already have multiple dogs in each kennel. What do you expect? This is math. You know, and I see people posting saying, and I don't mean to go on a rant, I'll make it short here, but people posting, I got the dog and I took it down to the shelter. And it's like, why? The dog probably lives seven doors down. Why did you do that? Just, you know, there's other ways to help. Don't just automatically take the dog to the shelter. Anyway, that's our life now. But the thing I want to say is that in my short time there, I've learned a little bit about Nick and what he's doing, and Berkeley, who's fantastic and does the job of 10 people. I see a lot of people that go down to that awful place every day and give their lives for it. One of those people is Dr. Eller, and I'm very sad that she's leaving because she truly cares. She cries because the dogs, she needs more say in this, I think. And again, I apologize, Nick, because this is not against you ever. Never against you. I'm on your team. That's how we're going to help, is by supporting Nick. But I don't understand yet, and I don't know who to talk to about how do we give her enough. This is what it seems like to me, and I'm probably wrong. Nick will probably tell me later what, you know, what I don't know. But how do we give her more power so that she can do what she needs to do, because she's the dog health expert. She's all we have. And starting Friday, that's her last day. We're not going to have anybody. And we're not going to have any vet techs. You know, and it's scary because I don't know if it was you or somebody else, but somebody adopted a dog. I saw this happen, and then it happened again. Somebody adopted a dog, came back 3 days later. The dog was very sick, probably parvo. And they came in and said, I just got this dog. The dog's sick. I don't know what to do. And the lady behind the desk said, you'll have to relinquish the dog. You know, very matter-of-factly, you're going to have to relinquish the dog. And she goes, well, do I get my dog back? And she's like, I don't know. I can't guarantee that. She's like, wait, what? And so anyway, Dr. Eller came up and said, don't worry about it. I will handle this, and took care of the dog. Then I saw on posts on social media recently where a lady said she just adopted a dog, a puppy, $3,000 in medical bills within a week because the dog has parvo. And Dr. Eller, I told her about it, and she goes, I would have helped. So that's my question is, what can we do? Is there any way we can keep Dr. Eller? And is there any way we can, you know, work it out? I don't know all the relationships and all that, but I love her already. And, you know, I just wish that, I don't know where to go or who to talk to about how to help.
Well, it sounds like, I've never met her, but I see her now. It sounds like Dr. Eller has a heart of gold.
She does.
She goes above and beyond, I will tell you that.
And saying no, I'm sure, is heartbreaking for her. So we don't know exactly how we can keep her. I don't know if she wants to be kept. then at least this, how long did it take to get that?
3.5 years.
So they posted an ad for $25,000 a year more than what she's getting paid now. So it said $175,000. They posted an ad for $200,000.
Really?
And what she said was, well, I mean, to get someone, it's so hard to get a vet.
Yeah.
You know, anything. I'm sure that the shelter feels like, what do we have to do, you know?
It's an incredibly hard job.
But do you know what she said? She said, I don't want the extra money. Give it to the other workers. Help them to be encouraged. And so I just feel like, again, Nick, apologize, because I don't know everything. I don't know. I know very little, but I'm trying, and I want to bring the community and all the volunteers, and I want to shake out all these 450,000 people who can get over here. If we need 100 volunteers, let's get them. And I think they'll do it. But, you know, I'm worried about not having the vet. And so I don't know.
I think we all are.
Mm-hmm. Nick, do you have an answer for all those questions?
I don't.
We don't want to put Dr. Eller on the spot. It's personal.
Right. We have to support her well-being. Yeah. And if she needs to leave to stay well as a person, then I support that 100%. But I also want the community to support her, because I think what's happening with the shelter is they don't have enough support. They do not have enough support. The vet doesn't, Nick doesn't, all the workers down there, there's people that have to kill the dogs every day.
And it comes down to money.
Right, they don't have enough money. I mean, I feel like this isn't a problem I can look away from now, and I'm just the photographer. Mm-hmm. So,
I couldn't do it.
No, so I don't know what to do, and that's why I'm here tonight, is to learn. But I think it would be wrong for me to not at least say that I'm going to miss Dr. Eller, and that I wish, I don't know, we're going to find a better vet. I don't know how Nick and all of them feel about it, but, you know, I know she's done a lot of good from the time that I've been there and seen, but anyway, just looking for answers.
It took us 2.5 years to get her in the first place.
That's what I'm saying.
We hate to see her go.
She doesn't do it for the money.
We appreciate you and your husband being here for the first time.
Yes, thank you.
And this is like your first big step in kind of immersing yourself in this problem. And we're all kind of network at these meetings also, besides bickering at us. We all kind of network with each other, too.
Well, we can't just criticize the shelter. In fact, every single day I stick up for them. Every single day on social media, they're like, the shelter, this. And I'm like, hey, whoa, you're not down there every day.
Yeah, try working there.
When I film, I go through and film the whole place once a week with my GoPro, and then I make a video out of it. I cry while I'm doing it. I hate it. But, you know, what else can we do? We can't turn away. They need support. They need support, and they need a lot of, it needs to be broadcast, and she needs to be supported, Nick needs to be supported, Berkeley needs to be supported. These people tell me stories that work there about how they get hated on.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just doing the job nobody else will do.
So is there a way to allocate more funds so he gets the staff that he needs?
Talk to your supervisor.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's far above this room. It's far above it.
But you're making a recommendation. That's why I'm asking.
No, I want you to. I want everyone to go to the respective supervisor and say, this is the problem. We want to see some action here.
But how much money does Nick, how much money do they need
down
there? You
have to go into the budget meeting.
No, but Nick needs to tell us, or someone,
what we need to ask.
What do you need? I mean, how much
money
are
you
talking about? I mean, you could have like...
Staffing. He needs staffing. That's really the bottom line.
I know, but how much money are you talking about to get the staff you need? I mean, what are the qualifications?
Well, that's a different meeting, right? And that's something.
Okay.
And this meeting is just like statistics? Is that what this meeting's about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Reports.
But I was just saying that's one thing. The other thing I was wanting to mention is, I've been around for a lot of years, involved with a lot of the community, a lot of youth groups. All your youth groups, like whether it's 4-H, church groups, FFA, Garces High School, now more and more they're asking kids to do community service for some length of time. And I could, you know, I think it would be important if we or someone knew who to reach out to suggest, and I've already kind of mentioned it to people, that they need volunteers and help down at the shelter, and that would be a great learning experience. You might have some kids, hey, I might want to be a vet one day.
Well,
and they go down there and they, you know, they can do that. Have you seen kids like that?
I talked to Nick about, you know, presenting in schools, and we all know that the curriculum in schools is so squashed the way it is that they can't fit anything else in. However, if there's a format like that where they could come there and spend, you know, half an hour, I talk to them and, you know, whatever, you know, this is what we're going to talk about today. You know, that's where we have to start to get changed.
I think if, you know, most of, well, not most of, but some of the high schools, they have FFA programs, and a lot of those ag teachers are really open to getting kids to do different things, experiences. You know, they might be helpful to contact. They might know who else to talk. And then you have your elementary schools, your junior highs. But I think, you know, that might be a whole new avenue to get some volunteers.
Yeah. I just think it's going to be easy to get volunteers, personally. I think it's going to be easy.
Well, a lot of that has already been done.
Yeah. And but we need
it can
hundreds
be done
more.
Again. But
it's
I don't
hard,
think it's that easy right now to get volunteers. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
Right. Well, and the other thing is it doesn't shore up the problem for getting actual technicians and that for the doctor. That volunteers can't just do that usually.
No. No, but I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's wrong of me to think this way. I guess I've just always been somebody that thinks anything is possible. But,
absolutely.
You know, why can't a layperson like me help recruit vet techs? Why can't I,
yeah,
you know?
And you can. You absolutely can. Like I said, I'm an RVT myself. I've been in the field for 13, going on 14 years.
There's a job opening right now at the Kern County.
I lived in Bakersfield. I would absolutely hop on that right away. I was actually thinking, I don't know if it would be an option, but to maybe come over on Saturdays and work with you doing things. I don't know if that, you know, works. It's kind of my only opportunity, but, you know, I would absolutely be, you know, willing to do something like that, even if we could, just to help, you know? And but it's tough to get out there. I personally have been going to, recently we did a career fair up at our college, our local college. We've been doing the high schools, going and talking to them about recruiting people for the field. It's tough, but it's great, you know, to see these kids. We go out there and we try to get these kids excited about learning this stuff, and so many of them are. But, you know, like, our problem where we're at is again, we have the local community college. We don't have anywhere for them to even go to school for it. You can do it online, which works to a point, but it you know, some people don't do well with online learning and that, but I absolutely think you could absolutely go around recruiting people and getting people interested.
But people fill out root volunteer applications and those types of things, and nobody answers them. And then they tell me, and the rescues tell me, and I emailed and nobody answered me. I mean, Nick can't single-handedly do this stuff.
Oh.
So I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
And that's not a budget meeting question. Isn't that a topic for here?
To a degree it is, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Before I go any further, do we not have microphones tonight?
I had to turn it down because there was feedback.
Oh. You're off. I'm off.
Yeah, I turned it off.
Not down. It's off. Okay, just need a little bit, not much. Okay, so we've got kind of a round robin here, which is kind of where we don't do things, but I want to welcome you and your husband. What is your last name?
Becker,
okay, well, welcome to the group.
Thank you.
And just keep coming, okay? Because you know about this much, and there's that much to know.
I know.
So,
that's frustrating, but I have to start somewhere. We've got to keep asking and learning.
You're just going
to
be chipping away at this.
Yeah.
It's a learning process. And it takes.
And then in 10 years, we're going to be battle-worn and not care anymore.
Yeah. We're glad you're here. We're glad that you care. And, you know, this has all been good.
And, and absolutely kudos to you guys for what you're doing.
Yeah,
thank you.
Exactly.
It really matters.
Yeah.
It doesn't some days it doesn't feel like it, but we get a lot of feedback that it does. So we're going to keep doing it.
Well, we like your initiative that you're showing, because you're kind of like a role model to other citizens that could be doing the same thing.
And I think they want to. They just didn't know. And everybody has, like, most people I know don't go on Facebook. They don't go on Instagram. Next door neighbor is the new thing for old people like me. You know, it's like, it fits us. Not calling you old, sorry, but I accept that I'm older now.
Are you talking about the app next door?
I didn't take that one.
Yeah.
The what?
The app next door?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And businesses can't really. Go ahead.
Anyway, just welcome.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate your energy. Let's say. Okay, that takes care of the third table. Fourth table, any questions? No?
No, we're just here waiting for you to get to this red line paperwork in the back.
No, it's good. All right, that's fine. We'll bring it back to that table here. So at this time, since we've answered every question that we could.
Dr. Eller, do you want to say anything?
No. Okay. I need a motion to receive and file the monthly director's report.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No, thank you. Thank you, Director Cohen. Okay, Commissioner announcements or reports. This is basically on their own initiative. Commissioner may make an announcement or report on their own activities. They may ask a question for clarification or make a referral to staff or take action to have staff place a matter of business on the future agenda. I'll start with Commissioner here. Any announcements you'd like to make on your activities or anything?
Not at the moment. The Central California Animal Disaster Team has done some fundraisers. We are possibly looking into assisting with the trailer thing, and we're looking for possibly self-contained trailer that has cages and such, but we're working on that somewhere probably next year. So other than that.
Okay, right.
So in your report here, it was listed the first page under the TNR, the 239 cats were spayed and neutered and released in October of 2022. So 43 of those were in the back of my truck at Critters Without Litters a couple weeks ago. We have done since mid-April, not including the 24 that are in the back of my truck as we speak to come tomorrow morning, we have done 159 feral cats in the Tehachapi area that have been trapped, neutered, and returned to their communities. And that does not include the 65 kittens that we have pulled out of those colonies, gotten into foster homes, and for the most part have gotten adopted, except for 25. So, but I think that we've been doing pretty good. That's 224 cats that are not going to be reproducing in the next little while. And Vicki at Critters Without Litters is limiting me to 24 per visit now. Only 24, but it's better than nothing, and I'll take it because there's a huge, huge, huge demand for the TNR services that Critters Without Litters provides. Being able to get a cat fixed through, I hate to say it, county money, but it is the only, it's the only way. And I believe that most of the kittens that come up on people's doorsteps, supposedly, are from feral colonies. And so I think that my group and I are making a huge difference, at least in Tehachapi. Unfortunately, I can't serve Bakersfield, but I think come spring next year, we're gonna start seeing a huge decline in the number of cats that are coming in from that area. At our first adoption event, Canine Creek, a month and a half ago, we adopted out 4 kittens. And just last Saturday, we adopted out 2 kittens, and we're having another one this Saturday in hopes to get kittens in homes in time for Thanksgiving to eat. Jump up on your kitchen table and grab a turkey leg. So all in all, I'm really pleased with everything my organization, Fixing Feral Felines, has been doing. I could not be more proud of my group.
I think it's an excellent job.
Thank you.
So 24 is the limit that Critters gives you. Now, did you surprise them one day with like 40-something?
45 a couple months ago.
Did they do it?
And I got, she did everyone. And then last month, I was only supposed to have 36, but I showed up with 40. One of my friends, I can't count. But she, Vicki took every single
one. They were nice enough to take them, though.
Yes, they took every single one.
Okay, thank you very much for the report.
Thank you.
Karen?
Honestly, I spent 4 days in Colorado this last week, just doing training for work. We were doing dentistry training and things like that. Myself and our new doctor, we actually just got a new doctor at our place. Again, we've been looking for months and months. We have one doctor at our place for the last close to a year. And so she's finally got some relief coming in now at her second doctor, so thank God for that. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing recently. So.
Okay, excellent job.
That's dog teeth, not people teeth.
Yes, yeah, dog and cat teeth. So.
Okay, that's all with the commissioner announcements and reports. I'm going to move on to old business, and actually there are none, except ordinance revisions.
Some of you may know, there was a group that helped put this rough draft of the ordinance revision together. It took them a couple of years of meeting, and then COVID got in the way. And then they presented it to the commission, and the commission has a subcommittee of myself and Commissioner Christopher, subcommission, and we fine-tuned it. We spent probably eight or nine hours on Zoom with myself, Mr. Christopher, the director, and the county council this time. The first subcommittee did not have county council in attendance. We did on this go around because we wanted to fine-tune it, see if there was anything that was maybe in conflict with the state constitution, or there was something, you know, or anything else that might be a problem. And so we spent, like I said, about 8 hours, 9 hours, maybe 10 altogether in fine-tuning this a little bit. And so I'm going to let Gina talk a little bit about her role, what she did, and then I'll talk a little bit about what I thought about it. And we've got it to a point, I think, as far as we can take it. It was exhausting, if you can imagine doing this line by line by line, and everybody talking about each sentence, and is it legal? Okay, does this make sense? Is there anything that is you know, in conflict with anything? And then you have to change it. So it takes a long time. I mean, each 2 hour session we did, we might have done a page. That's how long this takes. It's very exhausting. So I'll turn over to Commissioner Christopher, and she'll express herself on what she thinks about it.
We are not lawmakers, keep in mind. I'm a cat trapper. So. But I also have a little bit of common sense. I've been in rescue since 2007, completely submersed in rescue. Cats and dogs and saving them and raising money to spay and neuter them has been my life for my entire adult life. So what our main goal in is trying to make some of these ordinances concise and conform with the state laws that are already in place. Kern County was a little out of whack. It's hard to have a state law and a county law that contradict each other. So a lot of what we did was try to make it more so that they align better. More consistent, thank you. In doing that, some of the breeder laws that were suggested by the original committee, we have fine-tuned that a little bit, again, to make it more in line with what the state already has laid down, and we wanted to make sure that there was due process, that there wouldn't be a whole lot of loopholes that people could jump through, and so we wanted to close all of those up. We wanted to use a lot of the permitting process that is already in place to enforce these laws in giving our animal control officers the tools that they need when they're out on the field to make the, to write a citation, to impound a dog if necessary, to give the animal control officers the tools they need to do their jobs to get the dangerous dogs off of the streets and to enforce the altered or unaltered dog license, to enforce the breeder's permit, the commercial animal facility. So all of these things were always in the back of our mind, and you know, we may not have pleased everybody with what we did, and of course this is a final, this still would have to go to the supervisors for final, but we are presenting this as something that we feel that the supervisors can get behind, and also the county council can get behind, and that was our main goal. If the council doesn't believe it, it can fly, then it won't fly. So we think we've come up with something that will fly.
Thank you. Another thing we tried to make sure there's nothing redundant in this ordinance. We did find one spot that was redundant. There was already some laws on the books that we didn't need to put.
Did you want to add anything?
The same kind of laws back on the books, so we're able to do that. As you said, we trying to give the officers as many tools as we can. We want to please and help the most amount of animals that we can, and do the best job that we possibly can with the resources that we do have. So we try to make things as concise and easily understood as possible. Try to make it as logical as possible. So what we are doing is, you know, the first step is we are presenting this to the commission first. And the commission, each member has to vote on it. We have one commissioner missing. So we've, like I said, we've taken this probably as far as we can. We spent a lot of time on it. It was exhausting work to go through this. And I think we streamlined it as much as probably can be done. So we're just trying to help as many animals as possible with the funds that are available. So I guess I'm not really sure how to do it, but we are ready to present this to the commission. And each commissioner has to vote on, yes, do they like it? Okay, they'd like an attack. Or they could come back and say, oh, we'd like to change something. All right. Or they might vote just to say, we don't want to do it at all. So those are the three options that the commission actually has.
I actually would like to hear from, if anybody has any comments about this, if you've had an opportunity to...
Has anybody had a chance to read this ordinance revision? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of work involved in this, but...
It's legally...
It's kind of...
Typically, Mr. Chairman, your process would be to... You've presented your ordinance. I think it's been at least reviewed preliminarily by County Council. You would offer it for public comment. Typically, the vote process, if all commissioners have not seen the motion, then I think you would continue this meeting to the next meeting to allow them an opportunity to take a look at what you're offering. But the vote would take place as a board. That is, a motion would be made, and there would be a roll call or whatever. How do you vote on this ordinance? That's how it would happen.
And that will not take place tonight, I can tell you that, because we're still digesting all this. I've read it through probably five times, but there's a lot to it, and it takes a lot of time, and you've really got to concentrate on what you're reading to really understand it. But that's kind of the process, is the commission will vote on it. Commissioner, my commissioner, do you have a comment?
I don't.
Okay. So...
I think today, if there's, you can ask, is there any public comment today on this? I think you have some comments in the back here.
Okay, so open up for comments, would you like to have that?
Yes, open it for public comment.
We'll just take it table by table then, is my way out. I'm sorry.
Is that a copy of it over here?
Yes.
I think maybe it's
on. We had one out last week.
Last. We're just trying to digest it at this point, Terry. So
there's a lot of
reviewing and everything.
Yeah, I literally put the new thing versus the old thing and made sure that Nick made the changes that Commissioner Blackburn and I had discussed, and everything looks to be in check. I mean, right now, to in one point it was, well, we wanted to allow a grace period, a appeal process, and all of that, everything that we had all discussed is in place in the new ordinance.
We try to take everything into consideration. This thing is pretty complex, I can tell you that. But from temperature readings to all kinds of things that we had to learn about.
Comments.
So, anyway, I'll open up for comments. First row, Terry, do you have any comments on it? You haven't read it yet, have you?
Well, yeah, I think that the new section 7.08.025, the bottom of the first page there,
right, is
totally irrelevant.
I don't think it
should be there at all. We already have to license every dog.
Right. There isn't a lot of big changes here. There is, and you.
But that you said talking about redundancy, isn't that redundant then? To say, oh, you can't keep it out unless you license it. Well, no kidding.
You mean for the spay neuter requirements?
Mm-hmm. If you're licensing every dog, then people are going to either, you know, get a cheaper license by spaying and neutering, or they're not. So why have that whole section at all?
Well, I mean, 7.08.025 is spaying and neutering requirements, which this is not mandatory spaying and neutering. It just means...
Oh, yes, it is.
It's not, unless you qualify. Let me finish. Unless you qualify for some of these exemptions.
Commissioner Blackburn, may I interject? I just want to confirm that this is the type of public comment you want to hear, a back and forth conversation, or did you want to allow, or do you want to allow public comment for 2 minutes like you would normally do?
Okay.
No, I'm asking.
Okay, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Can I make a recommendation just as far as process? As far as process, I think that, I'm sorry, ma'am, tell me your name.
Terry Kahn.
I think Ms. Kahn has comments that she wants to offer. Those comments can be noted that you pointed out a code section or a section of the ordinance you feel that's redundant. I think that can be noted. I'm not sure that you need to respond at this point as to why it is or isn't, but that would be noted in the record, and that would be presented to counsel, Mr. McNutt, and he would have a response at the next meeting as to why that section is in there and why it is or isn't redundant. So that's how I'd offer as a process.
Okay. Well, and I can offer why it's a mandatory spay neuter. The reason it can be considered a mandatory spay neuter is because it can be taken away. All these exemptions can be taken away with
Interject again? Public comment is at the podium, and we're allowed 2 minutes for public comment.
So, go to the podium if you want.
Alright, the section 7.08.025, it is a mandatory spay-neuter that we are putting in, and if the reason it is a mandatory spay-neuter is because it has exemptions. Well, an exemption can be taken away. Nick is a fairly level-headed person that's in charge, but that hasn't always been the case. We've had some real wackos in charge. And in those, if you got on the wrong side, you all of a sudden found people with guns at your door and demanding to get in because, you know, they had all these complaints. Of course, they couldn't produce them, but, I mean, this has happened here. This happens here a couple times also, even now with Nick. But we can go back to that. And it's just, we don't need to set this up as an adversarial.
No.
And this does it. This does it. When you start putting these, and I mean, it sounds so great. Oh, everybody should take the gonads off their dog. You know, they shouldn't be born with them, apparently. But, you know, they're probably the same people that want this so badly. Ask them about docking a tail or trimming an ear. And all of a sudden, that's absolutely horrible stuff to do. But you can gouge out the ovaries. That's okay. All right, so, I mean, this is a mandatory spay-neuter. It doesn't need to be in there. It is superfluous, and if we can enforce, again, resources, enforce the licensing. And I'm paying $120 for one dog. Well, I have more than one. So I pay hundreds of dollars every year. I'd gladly do that to keep the gonads on my dog. Mm-hmm. What if somebody after Nick decides they don't like me? It could be, the exemptions can be taken away like that.
It's not going to be taken away like that. It's
not going to
be that easy to be taken away.
It depends on
the charge.
Yes.
Okay, next.
Sorry,
thanks,
Jared.
Please.
Okay, I'll say something. Can I?
Wait,
there's... We're not at your table yet. Still on table one.
Go get in the front table, wouldn't we?
With everything that Terry said, and I want to go over the exemptions because I find the exemption number two just extremely offensive. The exemption is for recognized dog breeders, which flips back to number 23, which is someone having three or more litters a year. So somebody who is having a preservation breeder in their breed club is doing their health testing and doing puppy culture and spending months and months developing, you know, this breeding program and doing one litter a year doesn't qualify for that exemption. And I just find it very offensive that you want puppies raised in kennels without puppy culture and that interaction and that forethought, over what a family would prefer, which would be a dedicated preservation breeder doing one or two litters a year in accordance with all their breed club standards and procedures and in a puppy culture environment.
Thank you. Table one, I think that's it. Table two? Who's on? Did you have a comment? Okay. Table two? Nothing else? Okay, table three? And what table do you set at? Four?
Four.
Then I think we're at table four then, so come on up.
Nick, you need to reset.
Hi, my name's Debbie Thompson. Bakersfield.
What's your zip code?
08.
08, okay. Welcome.
So I understand that the mandatory spay and neuter is to help unwanted dogs ending up in shelter.
Well, we're not calling it mandatory spay and neuter, so that wording is not even in there.
Okay. It's a scary thing for a dog owner that has an unneutered dog, plans to keep it like that, that has a responsible owner, and I see legislation like this want to pop up. And I always think, well, I understand you want to keep your shelters clear. I understand that we don't want these dogs running around the street.
Well, that's a huge problem.
It's a terribly huge problem. It's incredibly huge. I understand that part. But I've been talking to veterinarians, and they say that's never going to happen because there's not enough veterinarians to do them. Part of it
may not be.
And I agree with Kathy about the breeders thing. You want to get a good dog, a good healthy dog, you have to go to a good breeder. You put restrictions on those breeders, and it's a sad state of affairs at that point. I probably didn't make myself very clear, but thank you very much.
No, everyone's comments, so I appreciate you expressing yourself. Is this for,
oh,
have
and
you been here before?
Okay. No, this is my first time.
That's my thought.
And as a dog trainer, the thing about the dog boarding training by these means or methods, that was a little unclear to me.
What section are you referring to?
You're talking about the definition of dog training?
Yes.
That's a little bit of a glasses on. I didn't bring it up. Somebody help me out. You're going to have glasses.
I'm not sure what that is.
So your definition.
Under definitions?
Yeah, we got that.
Dog trainer.
I'm just looking for that.
Here it is. It's number 22.
22, okay.
Under definitions.
Dog training. So this dog training means the application of behavior analysis, which uses the environmental events of antecedents and consequences to modify the behavior of a dog, either for it to assist in specific activities or undertake particular tasks, or for it to participate effectively in contemporary domestic life. I'm not sure what all that means.
Sounds like a teacher
mode. Probably an attorney. Well, you know, the thing with this, here's the thing, folks. This is not finished. We're still going to be massaging it. We're not going to even vote on it tonight. And it may not happen until January, February. So this is still a work in progress. We've taken, Gina and I have taken this as far as we can. And so we're looking to the commission to, if they want to make some changes, now's the time. So, but thank you for pointing that out. Good one. Okay.
Nick, was that from a state law?
I don't know.
It started out that way. The thing about the dog training, because it started out as it was going to be a state either law referendum, that kind of thing, and the dog training was at a boarding facility, but the wording was very strict. How you could train, what you could do, what you couldn't do, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And the California Federation of Dog Clubs got together and helped put that aside because the wording of that was just too strict.
Got it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Did you want me to answer your question?
I'm going to let you ask one more question if you'd like. Oh, table four, decide that you want to ask a question?
Well, I wanted to share my comments about some of this.
Why not?
And I barely got to see parts of it.
Just found out about your meeting tonight.
Okay, well,
so
now you know. It's the third Wednesday of every month.
but I don't know if you're aware of it.
Here, any place?
Oh, Jill Wooden.
Okay.
And there are a lot of people in Kern County that show their dogs. There's a kennel club here in town that has a dog show every year. Many counties around the state have dog shows. Dogs cannot be shown unless they have their gonads. And so you're putting restrictions on a lot of people that show their dogs. And you're going, oh, but we have this exemption. You don't, because you have neighbors who break laws in tremendous ways, and you get fed up with it, and you complain to the sheriff's department or the police department, and now those neighbors hate you. And so now they're not going to, they know this law's here. Oh, we're going to turn, they can't have dogs to show. We know those show dogs aren't fixed. Mm-hmm. So you're putting a lot of people that have put thousands of dollars into raising quality animals that can go to show rings. Many people in this county have top winning dogs. And you're denying them their right with the way this is written.
We're not denying anything.
You are, because we have neighbors all around this county. People that show dogs have neighbors that will turn them in simply because we don't like you, because you turned us in, because we're breaking. They're breaking the law.
Turn them in for what?
We have neighbors in our neighborhood that break all kinds of laws.
No, I'm talking about turning.
Just because they know we have show dogs.
Make a complaint.
They'll make a complaint, whatever they want
to
make it.
Vindictive.
Just to be vindictive, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And so now, and like one of these ladies shared, any responsible AKC dog owner, if they do breed once a year or maybe twice at the most, they do all kinds of health testing that costs a lot of money. They're x-raying hips, shoulders, they're doing thyroid tests, they do hearing tests, they do vision tests. Cardiac, tremendous amount of vet testing before we even breed. And then they check the stud dog, or both stud dog and bitch have to be checked both in order to decide if that's going to be a proper breeding or not. And you're putting tremendous limitations on them and restraints where they could lose everything that they've put tens of years in breeding quality animals, because you got a nasty neighbor down the road.
Isn't it true that with an unaltered dog license, then you're covered?
No, it's not, because what I'm saying
to be
is
compliance.
Right. Well, but I'm saying, even if you follow your guidelines here, if you have a neighbor that doesn't like you for some reason, they can turn you in, and you guys are going to walk down to my door and take my show dogs away. You know, my dogs have done nothing wrong, and I've done nothing wrong just because they complain.
Not if you are in compliance.
Well, no, that's the thing, is it says that there are X amount of complaints.
Three complaints.
If there's X amount of complaints, they can actually retake or alter animal license. And so, no, I get what she's saying, because, again, you know, it doesn't necessarily, you know, not all complaints are legitimate, unfortunately. And so if they called, you know, three times, or they called, had a friend call, and whatever, you know, like, it does give that option as taking it away, if that's the case.
I mean, I understand where you guys are at. We're overrun with animals in this county. I've helped with the cat populations, trapping and taking to Critters Without Litters in the summertime. I know it's a big problem. But I don't think it's your dog show people, the responsible breeders. They're not your problem.
That's not.
And that's what this most of this law is attacking them.
It's really not. It's really not.
It is.
The committee that came up with this, Terry was on that committee that came up with this original language. Correct?
Yes. Oh, they did, yes.
Okay.
We did not agree on it.
There are issues to the responsible dog owners, and that's not who you should be going after. It's the irresponsible dog owners.
I agree with that 100%.
But this is really targeting the responsible dog owners.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your comment. This is, we really need more input, and appreciate your input. Okay. I think that's all the questions on that, right? Or did you have one more?
I have a question.
Well, then, if you want to make a statement, then you need to go up there. That'll be the end of the topics.
I'm Cheryl, 93307, email asking. Regarding the same section there, I don't know what you can do as far as putting in a little blip to protect the few that are concerned about affecting them, but as a whole and as the rescuers, we're exhausted. This is fabulous. I think it's great. I'm glad I'm seeing this, so thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, the rad just because we haven't been seeing a lot of the rads here lately. I know that they're...
I think there was a blip to put in there. We would have put in the first committee lasted 2 years.
No, I think it's fabulous.
Thank you.
Okay, so that winds up all the.
I'm just going to say that the impound part was.
Do you want to come up to the podium,
please?
I was
going
to say where the impound was.
Your name and your zip code, please.
I'm only going to give my first name. My name's Jackie.
And what's your zip code, Jackie?
I don't feel comfortable giving it.
Well,
city?
Bakersfield. The impound was under 7.08.025, and then it was under number 7. And it's impoundment of unaltered dog.
Yep.
So I'm just going to share that that's where that was. It was in here.
You can impound them and then you neuter or spay them on the spot before we have any rebuttal.
That's our biggest
Okay. All right. That closes it out. New business. Guess what? There is none. And did we vote for going dark in December already?
We did not do it.
That we did. Okay.
Well, it shows next meeting as well.
I mean, they've already skipped.
I think they did.
I thought we did it a couple, maybe the month you were gone, Amber, but. Yeah.
I listened to the recording. It was not on there.
Okay, so let's do it again. I need a motion to go dark.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, good.
Mr. Chairman.
Carried. So our next meeting.
Mr. Chairman, just on that last item, I think just to close it out for the benefit of the public, my understanding is that you're going to take these comments and have the commissioners look at the changes or the comments that were made as well as the red line document, and then you're going to bring this back. You'll continue this matter until your next meeting. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, we're going to continue it again in January. We're going to pick this up where we left off. We're just going to sweep it underneath the carpet. We're not. This is still a discussion on between the two of us. This is as far as we can take. So we're trying to please the most amount of people and do the most amount of good with the document. Okay. So we've already decided that we're going to go dark in December. So I need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
We'll see you next month, or see you in 2 months. Happy New Year.